excited to share this part of this series with you. I will tell you that it wasn't an easy topic, obviously. I feel like I get the hard stuff. No, I don't. But I do feel a little bit like this is a tougher subject when we talk about trust. We talk about, it evokes a lot of emotion. That one word evokes a lot of emotion. And so before we get started on our subject today, I really want to share with you the verse and the reason why we're discussing this. So the verse is found in 1 Corinthians 13 and 7, and it says this: love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, love always perseveres. It hopes, I'm sorry, protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. And last week, Richie kicked us off in the series, and he talked about those three things. Love protects, it perseveres, or preserves, and it pushes. I always get that verb wrong. Preserves and preserves. Yeah. Yeah, I get it wrong every time. But really, the thing that I loved most about when he was talking about those three things, yes, it pushes us, and yes, it protects us, but the thing that love does is it preserves us. And I was thinking about how in the world, worldly love does not preserve. It strips away. And so I loved how he pointed that out, especially being a parent. That preservation love that God provides for us is what really is necessary in keeping us and keeping our perspective right in things. And so as we get to move into this next part of the message, I really wanted to kind of take a step backwards and kind of frame out 1 Corinthians 13. Because what happens is, immediately when we think of 1 Corinthians 13, we automatically think of wedding ceremony, right? We automatically go into love is patient, love is kind. You know, we hear that every wedding we go to, so our mind automatically goes there. But really, if we look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians 14, Paul is really talking about how we conduct ourselves as leaders, as believers. So it's funny to me how we kind of put brackets around 13 and go, no, that's about marriage. When really it's about the way that we conduct ourselves as a believer, to walk in love. That's really what the challenge is for us. And so as we start to pick down and really go all the way down to verse 7, when Paul really adds that like exclamation point, he gives all these bullet points, love is patient, love is kind, love is this. And then he says, it's always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, and it always perseveres. This is like the exclamation point of his message. And so as we dive into love always trusts, sometimes what we do is we skip over things like that in the Bible that don't make sense necessarily in our vernacular. We skip over and we go, love always trusts, that seems ridiculous, I'm going to keep moving. Who gives advice like that? Always trust. But I think if we really go back to the original intent of what that word was, then we can look at this part of the scripture and we can say, okay, Paul, what were you actually saying? And this is a problem sometimes in Christianity. What we do is we take a Bible verse and it feels right, so we apply it to our life and we don't study the word. We don't become students of God's word and what he's saying. And so we just take this verse and we apply it to our life, and then we're out in public or we're out in involved in relationships, and we just pull something out that sounds right, but we don't really understand the full context of that. So I was really thinking about this week, and those of you who have participated, I appreciate you, but I put this survey out there, and if you guys want to throw it up there, you're more than welcome to. It was an Instagram survey, and I said this. My first post was this: is it easier for you to love or trust? And then I gave a blank screen, and I put, think about it. And then I asked the question again. And it was interesting to me because more often than not, people said it's easier to love than to trust. Almost 100% of people that participated in the survey said, it's easier to love than to trust. And what the world would tell us is that relationships are built on trust. and that it's the cornerstone of our relationship. But that is not what the Bible says. And this is where I had to call a lifeline this week. I had to call my friend Maria, and I had to say, I feel like I'm wrecking people's lives by telling them they cannot trust human beings. And you know what she said? As a licensed mental health counselor, but also one of the strongest Christians I know, she said, you can't. You can't. God never intended me or you to put our trust in humans. That was never his intent. Never. And what we do is we live by the world's standards too often, and we apply a biblical principle that we don't fully understand, and we apply it to a situation, and it's not God's will for us. And the Bible talks about a fear of man brings a snare, but those who trust in the Lord are kept safe. And this is one of those fears and those tendencies that we have, and it causes us to be cursed.
Come on.
Because what the result of that is, anxiety, jealousy. When I put my trust in men and their ability to fulfill my needs, all of a sudden I'm fearful. Wait a second, what if you don't come through for me? Mm-hmm. What if you don't meet my needs? And instead of taking what God has given us as a gift between us and him, we put it in the hands of people who are naturally going to fail us.
Yep.
There, as a mom, I want my kids to be like, my mom's got my back for everything. She's amazing. I love her. She's my number one fan. And I hope they feel that way. But there's also going to come a point in time when I'm going to sit across from the dinner table from them, and they're going to say, Mom, it really hurt my feelings when you did this. I don't feel like I can trust you in this area. I have to deal with that as another human being. But as a believer, I don't have to feel like that about my Heavenly Father.
That's right.
He is the only one who will never fail you and never leave you. So I was thinking about this and just processing through. And my first point is this. Love is given, but trust is earned. Love is given. So that survey makes sense because I can give that. That's free. I can just give that out. I can give out love, and I don't really have to care about the result of that. I don't care if you love me back. I can love you. It doesn't matter. But my trust, my ability to believe that you're going to come through, that is earned.
That's right.
And some of us have not earned what we're demanding.
That's good.
We want seeds of that. We want to reap a harvest of that. We have not sown seeds of trust. And really, let's break it down this way. Pretend I'm not married. I'm on Tinder. I'm swiping, right? I don't know Tinder, so I'm just going by like popular vernacular. Right? So I'm on Tinder, okay, or Plenty of Fish or whatever. And I see someone, okay, we go on a first date. All right, we're on a date. It's going great. And I'm like, yes, this is amazing. And I have a biblical principle that says love always trusts. And I just read that in my Bible, and I'm applying that to my life. So on my first date, I say, I'm putting this principle into practice. And I open up my wallet, and I take out my Social Security card and my bank card information, and I say, take a picture of this because I believe that love always trusts. And I trust you. But Cammie's like, what in the heck? Exactly. And that's the point. Who does that? Who would do that? We wouldn't do that. We would say, that's stupid. What were you thinking? Because we take something that's so precious and so valuable, and we place it in the hands of someone who we don't have a relationship with. I've not seen this person be consistent in honoring my trust.
That's good.
And a lot of times we do that when we get into a relationship with people. That we've not seen consistent behavior, but we trust them with something that they can't fulfill. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to the Greek on this. Let's go to the Greek. Not that Greek, but the actual Greek. All right, 1 Corinthians 13 and 7. When he says the word trust in here, he uses the word pistivo. Okay? That's my interpretation. And that actually means believe. Believe. We translated that into trust. But actually, in the original intent, the way that Paul was writing it, he says, believe. Some of us would go, you're splitting hairs, trust and believe, it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. It's not. Because I can believe the best in someone, but I cannot trust them.
That's right.
And that's how God asks us to operate in our walk with him. Mm. We can believe the best until we see those consistent actions take place. Believe until we see. And so my point number two for you is, where am I at? Point number two is, belief is applied until trust is earned.
That's good.
So we apply belief until trust is earned. And it is earned. It has to be earned. In Mark 9, there's a story in there about a man who the Bible calls his son demon-possessed. And he has a seizure disorder, is the way that it looks like in the scriptures, how you interpret it. And the man brings the son to Jesus. And he says this to Jesus. He says, often the spirits throw him into the fire or into water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. This dad is pleading with Jesus. If you're able to help us, can you help us? I'm desperate. My son is sick. I need your help. I've been there. I've been in that desperate place where I'm like, Lord, if you're going to heal her, please heal her. And listen to what Jesus says in verse 23. He says this, what do you mean if I can?
Come on.
Can you imagine? You're the dad of this boy and you're begging for the Lord to heal your kid. And you say, if you can, and Jesus looks at you and says, what do you mean if I can? I'd be like, I'm sorry, I bugged you. Really? But you know what this man says? Do you know what he says? He says this. I do believe, but help my unbelief.
That's good.
I do believe, but help my unbelief. There is going to be a part in every relationship in the history of man that you're going to get into where you're going to have a choice. Lord, I believe you've called me to this person. Help me with my unbelief right now. Lord, I believe that my child, I believe the best about my child, but right now I'm not seeing it, so can you help my unbelief? Instead of going to him and being truthful, we quote scriptures like, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. We don't understand what we're saying. We don't understand that we're saying, believe in the Lord with everything inside of you until you see that promise come about.
Come on.
Believe until you see. You're going to have to apply belief until you see the actions. And that's hard. Because what we do is when people first get saved, what we say is, you need to believe the Lord. And you need to trust him with everything inside of you. And we forget that there's a relationship that takes place. Yep. That Jesus doesn't expect us to do that. That's a dictatorship. He wants a relationship with you.
That's good.
He gives us time to cultivate that because he wants you to see he's going to come through for you.
Amen.
He doesn't just expect you to be there. We're not wired that way. No. He didn't create us that way. He created us to love but not necessarily trust. So we have to be in process of trust with him. We have to. Give yourself a break when you're saying, Lord, I believe, but can you help my unbelief now?
Yes.
Those areas of my life where I may not have seen you come through for me this way, but that doesn't mean you won't. Mm-hmm. I stand on your word that says you will come
Amen.
Through for me.
Amen.
And so in those Amen. Moments, you're going to have to apply belief where you don't necessarily see it.
That's good.
Sorry.
Come on. Don't apologize.
So trust, when we reference the word trust, we're referencing consistency and action. So it's those consistent steps that you take over and over and over again. And one of the ways, I was thinking about this, one of the ways that I have seen this in my mind in a non-relationship setting was with my Nana. My Nana worked for American Heart Association for 23 years before she retired. 23 years is a long time to work for one company. A very long time. She worked there 23 years. Her boss, Sue Ann, was amazing. She was the sweetest woman, and her and Nana had this really great relationship. And I was thinking about this, and I'm like, in 23 years, that means that in order for Sue Ann to have that kind of trust with Nana, that means Nana had to show up every day. And she was given assignments, and she had to complete those assignments, and she had tasks that she had to complete every day, and she had things that she had to do every single day in order to build that kind of trust, where when Sue Ann was promoted, she said, I only want Kitty. What does it take?
Come on.
What does it take in you, in your work environment, in your situation? Do you show up every day?
Yes.
Are you walking out those steps of consistency? Are you saying, like, I don't feel great right now, and I don't really want to be here right now, but instead of pissing and moaning about it, I'm actually going to do my job.
That's right.
I'm actually going to do what God has called me to do here.
Come on.
And when you're upset and when you're frustrated with the people around you, instead of going to all these other verses and talking about the Lord's going to smite somebody and speak in tongues until you fall over, why don't you read 1 Corinthians 13 that talks about love is patient, love is kind.
That's right.
It isn't jealous. It doesn't boast.
It's good.
It always trusts. I believe you in this situation. I don't see the job like I want to see it, but I believe that you're going
yes.
to come through for
come
me
on.
Like,
Amen.
Like I believe
come
you
on. Yes.
And that's what he's called us to do. In a situation like this, this is what he's called us to do, and he's asking us to trust.
Yes.
Mistrust. Let's talk about that for a second. Mistrust. Mistrust is when I take the gift that God has given me and I place it in the hands of humans. Mm. And I have this today. We're giving these out to you guys. It's Play-Doh. Okay? You know I like takeaways. They help me. I'm a visual learner. So we have this Play-Doh here. And as long as this Play-Doh is kept in this container, it doesn't get dried out. It doesn't get misshapen. Misshapen? Is that a
mishandled.
Word? I don't know. Misshapen. Yeah. Thank you, Jenny, English teacher. Appreciate you. And as long as it's in here, it's preserved. Like what Richie talked about last week, love preserves. It's here. It's safe. This is my trust. As long as I keep it here, this container represents God. As long as I keep my trust in God and not in man, this is kept safe. But what happens if I open this up? I can't open this up. Okay. So I have this trust here. And I have this trust, and I'm going to give some to Richie because he's my husband, and that's important. He deserves my trust. And I'm going to give some to Ethan because I love him. He's a great kid. Appreciate him. He's a grown adult now. I'm sorry, you're not a kid anymore. And I'm going to give some to Malia. She's my friend. I love her very much. And I'm going to give some trust to my mom, more to my mom, more to Malia. And then all of a sudden I get into a situation and the Lord's asking me, I need you to trust me in this. And I'm looking down and I'm looking at an empty container and I don't have enough faith and trust to believe God. Because it belongs to a lot of other
Ooh, that's
people.
That's good. Come on.
And I want to trust him. I do. I have a little bit here. God, you can have this piece right here of my trust. This belongs to you. And God's saying, for what I've called you to,
yeah, come on.
I need more than that.
That's good.
So I'm going to need you to get back your trust from your spouse. Because it doesn't belong to him. And I'm going to need you to get it back from your friends. Because they can't help you. And your mom can't go with you where I'm taking you.
It's good.
And I need you to give it back to me. and let me put the lid on it and let me preserve it and let me keep it safe.
That's so good.
Because in me, this is the only place your trust is safe.
That's good. That's good.
The only place your trust is safe. For some of us, we're in relationships where we're wondering, am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right choice? Is this what God's called me to? And I would say this, the biggest indicator of your ability to put belief in someone and your ability to put trust in that individual is the fruit that they bear. Consistently. So my daughter Mia, we were talking about this. I said, Mommy's going to talk about trust. And she goes, what are you going to say? I don't trust my kids. I'm like, yes, I am, actually. Because my daughter wants Instagram.
No.
She said no. She wants Instagram. And it's not that I don't trust Mia. Because I do. I love her. And I believe the very best about her. And I believe that she would never do anything intentionally to break my trust in her. I know she wouldn't. But I don't necessarily trust everybody else.
That's right.
To protect my kid like I would protect my kid. Yeah. I don't believe, and I don't have the ability to believe that everybody else is using the same filter that we're using.
Yep.
For our family.
That's good.
So as parents, as grandparents, we have to make sure that when we say, listen, I believe the best about you, but I'm going to put a safeguard around you.
That's right.
Yep.
Because love protects. And it trusts. It hopes. And it perseveres. It does all three things. And it requires all three things in order for us to be able to have what God has called us to have, and protect our kids in such a way that they're not seeing things that they shouldn't be seeing, and then later on they have to deal with the ramifications of
that's
that.
Right. That's right.
So we put that guard around them. So point number three was this. Where did your dough go? Okay. Where did your dough go? And that's what it says on your Play-Doh. Where did your dough go? Because in those moments when you start to feel anxious, when you start to feel jealous, when you start to feel upset, when you feel frustrated, and when you feel angry, when situations arise in your life and you're wondering, like, why can't I get a grip? Go back to, where is my trust? Is it in my situation? Because that's fluid. Is it in a person? Because that will change.
Yep.
The only place that you're going to be able to put your trust is in God. That's it. That's it. And the point is this. John 2, 23 through 25 says this. Because of the miraculous signs Jesus did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many began to trust in him. Many people trusted in Jesus. He's doing all these things. He's the Son of God, clearly. He's the Son of God. But Jesus didn't trust them. Because he knew all about people.
Yep.
No one needed to tell him about human nature. For he knew what was in each person's heart. So, those of you who answered on that survey, I don't really trust. I'll love you all day, but I don't necessarily trust you. You're in good company.
Yep.
That's exactly how Jesus lived. He loved people ferociously, but he trusted his dad.
It's good.
And that was it. And that doesn't have anything to do with necessarily how we live. We don't live like that. We don't live like, I love you and I'm called to you, so I'm going to love you. What I do is I place my trust in Richie Sarlo, and then when my needs don't get met, I pout. When he doesn't come through for me like he should, then I get mad. But instead, if I put my trust in God and I say to him, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief.
That's good.
If I can say that in every relationship, in every situation I'm in, Listen, if your life is in Christ, then he orders your steps.
That's right.
So where you are is where you're supposed to be.
Right. Amen.
So if you can stop saying, I got to get out of this situation, and you can start saying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief right now.
So
love is patient. Love is kind. I trust in you. I hope that you have the best for me. I know that you're going to preserve me.
That's right.
If you can say those things, then it changes your mind.
That's right.
In every situation that you walk through. And it no longer becomes about my needs being met.
That's
it
right.
becomes, I can turn that outward and say, Lord, what do you have me here to do?
Come on, yeah. That's good.
Why do you have me here today? I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I'm having a rough day. The quickest way for you to get out of that mood is for you to serve someone else.
That's right.
Right.
That's the quickest way. I'm frustrated. Things are piling up. One of the worst things, if I have my to-do list and someone comes to me and says, hey, can you do this? It drives me insane because I want to check off my list. It's really difficult for me to not check things off my list. But instead of saying, like, how can I serve you in this moment? What have you called me to do, Lord? Love is patient. Mm-hmm. Love is kind. It's not envious. Right? We go back to 1 Corinthians 13. Don't use it like it's just a wedding ceremony. It's our model for how we're supposed to walk out our life.
That's good.
And it does apply. It definitely applies. Band, if you want to come. But it definitely does apply to marriage situation, of course. But you're not just going to use that on one day.
That's right.
Every day. You're going to use it every day. Sometimes probably we should read it multiple times a day. So today, as you leave, guys, can we do the third song? Okay, cool. As we leave today, and as you guys leave, in the back door, there's going to be this Play-Doh reminder for you of where do your dough go? And I want you to, when you look at this, I really want you to put it in a place where you feel like you get the most frustrated. Could be in your car, right? Driving down 19, put it right there. At your desk at work, Leslie's a CPA. Right now is a really good, here, take all of these actually. But put it in a place where you can see it and you can reference it, and it's a reminder to you that the only place that my trust is going to be safe is in God.
That's right.
That's it. That's the only place. Good. So when I want to put it in people and I want to put it in things and my situation and my work, it's not going like I should. And I take that back to God and I say, no, my trust is not in people. It's
That's
not
right.
in my job. It's
That's
in
right.
you.
Amen.
And then all of a sudden, it takes our mind from this place of uneasiness and jealousy and anxiety, and it puts it back in the hand of a creator who made you.
It's good.
And you're able to stand up under whatever you're feeling at that moment in time. Let's stand.